All right, we're here at the opening ceremony, baby. We kind of had a pre-opening opening, or whatever the fuck you call it, but we just get a little introduction. So here's what the guys are here for, and why are we here? What the fuck are we doing, right?
What's going on, guys? Nice to be in presence with all of you. Great to meet you all today, each and every one of you. For me, my story, like most of you guys, probably began a long time ago, just being in a dysfunctional family and so forth, alcoholic family, had a really loving father and so forth. But recently I was reflecting on one event that happened with me in regards to the opposite sex with the beautiful girl I was in love with when I was 6 or 7 years old. And I remember that my father encouraged me to get her some roses, and I did. And I remember I walked into school with the roses on Valentine's Day, and the girl just ran away from me. And I think it may have left me with an emotional scar where I was just always kind of longing after the love of that woman who was always going to be running away from me. Perhaps it was just a theory, but also struggled growing up just feeling like I had a true connection with my mother and really feeling that unconditional love from her. I felt like I got that from my father, but not so much from my mother. And I also had my mother betray me when I was quite young, after a boyfriend had strangled me, almost killed me, and then my mom got really, really angry with me and basically detested me and abandoned me and my brother, essentially. But what I'm dealing with, what brought me here specifically at this point in time, the last three, I've traveled most of the last 11 years living here in Asia and living in many of these countries and traveling the world, and built a pretty decently successful business that allows me to be wherever. But 3 years ago, I met one whom I thought I would really build a life with, and it was, I have to say, after the first 3 to 4 months, I realized it was a severely toxic relationship, but also it was so familiar to the childhood wounding, and it's been a big push-pull and a lot of trauma, to say the least. It's been emotionally devastating. It's been really, really tough. Also, I'll share this as well. My father took his own life about 5 years ago. And I know that he had a lot of wounding from childhood, but also, you know, a lot of scars also came after my parents divorced and even before, but definitely afterwards. And I saw him, you know, for 15 years after that divorce, and I saw how that all affected him. And my father actually had a heart attack after coming into contact with my mom. He was my brother had brought both of them together to buy iPhones, you know, buying iPhones and then shipping them. My brother was doing this, and so he's just going to make some quick cash. And he brought my mother and my father to stand in line together to buy the iPhones. And my father just had a heart attack waiting there in line, just being next to my mom. He lived through that. But then it wasn't long after that he did take his own life, several months later, maybe 6 months later or so. But anyway, I don't want to take up too much time. I ended up marrying this girl, got this girl pregnant, now have a 10-month-old daughter who's the most precious, adorable angel in the world. The mother continuously created dramatic situations in which she would... it seemed like she's trying to just end the relationship, but there was always this push and pull, and we always were coming back together, creating drama out of thin air, and then it seemingly dissolve, and then wouldn't. But anyway, eventually we'd went to the States, we bought a house, got married, she was pregnant, and she ended up creating drama and then flying back to Korea. I gladly brought her to the airport, kissed her goodbye, kissed her stomach goodbye with tears in her eyes, said, you know, you can't get to Korea soon enough. And then learning that, you know, the whole time she's talking to her ex behind my back as well, which I discovered not even trying to really find that information. It came out through my phone, a different, really beautiful, I guess you could say that God showed me, or it was made evident. But yeah, I have a 10-month-old daughter, and now I was just recently, 2 weeks ago, I was in Korea with them, and they flew to China so she could be with her ex, and then also our daughter with them as well. So I have really no control of that. So that's where I'm at, and I'm kind of struggling as to whether or not I should even try to make it work in any way, try to build a life that she can later come back into, or if I should just go my own way and build a life that's going to truly make me happy and do what's going to make me happy, and not try to placate to that relationship anymore. Just accepting that it's not healthy, and it's you know, I can't change that person. It's only going to bring me more hurt. And perhaps I can love my daughter just as much and perhaps be even better example if I'm not necessarily with her, because otherwise I'd be in a toxic situation. So that's what I'm dealing with, guys. Yeah, thank you.
Wow. I really wasn't sure what form, Matt, this was going to take, and I was, you know, thinking, oh, what will I say? Will I go back into history? But I'll probably give a little back story and we'll see how it goes. I have always felt a need to be with a woman from the earliest memory. And I think it comes from a desire to be loved. When I met my wife, I was in my early 20s. She was about 18, 19, quite naive, Italian family, Italian background, so a little bit sheltered. And it was plainly obvious to me that that she was doe-eyed for me and was truly in love with me. So whilst I connected well with her and I liked her, I couldn't say I loved her, but I didn't really care because I felt she loved me, and that was good enough. And we got on. So I got married, and I was working in finance. Now, banking, a stable job, one to bring in the money to make sure that things are on track. So, but for me, it was long hours and I wasn't happy there, and I was probably not a fun person to be with most of the time. Anyway, moving forward, 11 years ago, 11 years ago, my wife came up to me and said she wanted to separate. Now, the shock was that she wasn't happy. The shock was that she actually did it, because I still felt like that she must feel like, when she was 18, she was still in love with me. So, that meant a lot to me. So I got a shock that she said she wanted to separate. Plus, I also felt that, you know, like I was a good provider and did a lot of stuff for her, and so it came as a shock. Anyway, then I had to go through quite a bit of hell, really, because I wanted to decide: do I fight or do I just let it go? Now, I had never heard about MGTOW at that stage. I was totally uneducated, and I didn't have a clue about the female nature, the things that you do for someone, what they've done, what you've done for them, perhaps in the past, is literally means nothing, and that it's all about the future. So I had no idea about this stuff. Anyway, circumstances where we continue to live under the same roof, because to an extent neither of us had anywhere else to go apart from our parents, respective parents' places. And she just basically totally removed herself from me, and I also felt like that she just wanted me gone, and that hurt. You know, I'm thinking, what the hell? All this period of time we've been together, you actually at some point in your life loved me. And now it's like, I wish you were out of here. Now, so for about six, this case, I blame it a lot on, you know, it's like a midlife crisis for her. I think she was coming into a stage where she was into her 40s and felt that she was looking good. She's a good-looking woman, extremely fit, gym instructor. I would have had no hope of getting her now. You know, I got her when she was 18. That's what I felt. where was I? So we were living in the same house, but she was at a stage in her life where, whether you want to call a midlife crisis or whatever women have, you know, she was like a horny teenager. And what killed me was that, you know, her libido had generally, whether with me, been on the low side, and the minute it started to change, she decided that she didn't want to share that with me. Does that make sense? You know, I remember one incident that killed me. You know, I'd always told this woman, you can cut this one out if you want, I always told this woman, shave your pussy for me. It's something I like. And she just would not do it. The minute she broke up with me, you know what happens. And it was like she was just shoving in my face. I had to go through a six-month period, which was quite torturous, where we were separated. She was living, and I knew that she was, going out with other men, but living under the same roof as me. And it came to a point where I just said, this is out of control. It has to end. So I told her, when I felt her behaviour was... I just couldn't recognise the woman. Anyway, so I went up to her and just told her, get out. Not it, but in, you know, fuck off. I've had enough of you, get out. Go and live with your parents. This is ending. And the strange thing was, at that point in time, I don't know what happened. She needed to hear that. But she, you know, turned completely around, you know, please forgive me. Yeah. So, the bottom line is that we are still together. She is a different woman from what she was 10 years ago, because she's older, but it's not the same, you know, if that makes sense. It's sort of, I had her initially when I knew her, you know, she was put up on the princess pedestal to a degree. That's never going to happen. And so after this incident, I wanted to educate myself as to where I had gone wrong. So educate myself in female nature, and that's, I guess, when I came across, you know, like when you're YouTubing and you're searching male-female relationship issues or problems, eventually you'll come across MGTOW and so forth. So MGTOW is, to an extent, I am not a woman hater, so I don't appreciate people in the... I don't like people in the movement who've got a bit of a chip on their shoulder. I think it's just important that we understand the nature of females so that when things go wrong, that we're prepared for it. And I wasn't prepared for it at that time. Now, if something happened again, I'd be prepared for it. If something, you know, like I'd be prepared to walk away without losing weight and having stress and anxiety and all that sort of thing. So this is where the self-education over the past 10 years has, has been excellent, so that I'm now better educated and better prepared, I suppose, if anything would go wrong in future. But I actually doubt it will now, because we're pretty good. So I feel like a bit, you know, in that regard, I feel like a bit of a fraud here, because, you know, I've been married a long time. There was a period where things were bad, but, you know, it's not perfect, but I've got through that. So the MGTOW perspective, to me, it's all about being educated, and so that I can not get a shock like I got. And I think it also helps me in a marriage how to treat a woman better. You know, that's a big thing. Okay, you know, just pick one, and, you know, don't be needy. So there are just many things that I've picked up to make myself a more attractive person than I was at the time when I was working 60 hours a week and no fun, and she decided that, you know, I'd just lost a lot of money on the stock market in the crash, and that was a good time to say you're going to leave me instead of being supportive. Now what's on my mind? I think, look, I'm getting on, and I'm thinking about the future. And work-wise, you know, I'm thinking some of the guys here are just so inspiring with the fact that, you know, that our one of our, you know, our riches is time, not money, and getting rid of an attachment to money, that's important to me, so that I can, you know, I've never done anything as far as seeing the world goes. I don't want to work full-time anymore, so, but I think, you know, you probably think it's easy to say, but things like quit or changing the status quo, I find quite hard. Lastly, because I've been rambling too much, throughout all of that process, throughout all of that story, one thing that I've never been able to do, and sort of where I started is, and this has become quite popular lately, is know how to love yourself. Now, I maintain that if I wasn't married, I'd be a bum on the street because I don't care. Does it make sense? You know, like, I would not put in the effort to work and give my all for myself. So to me, that says something. So I tend to do stuff for others and would do little for myself. So I don't know, because as I said, I just couldn't be bothered. I wouldn't, you know, if I was on my own, there's no way I'd be in this job doing this much work and all that sort of stuff. I just wouldn't. So I don't know what that says about myself. So I think I have to learn how to whether love myself or try to learn how to do things for myself, because I seem to be more of a giver and I just don't know how to do things for myself.
Okay, that's good. Fuck yeah. Yeah,
that's
a good place to
start. Okay, hi guys. I'm in this I joined this summit because of this relationship with the girl, and well, that's actually the reason I joined previously too, February, and well, that's all finished and well, over, and you know, I think I blame myself for that, obviously. I no doubt about that, but the reason I'm still here is because I'm still in pain, you know. After the last MGTOW, and you know, learning about MGTOW things, watching videos and stuff like that, you know, I try to make this myself. Well, I try to make the situation better, but it hasn't really improved. The state I'm in is like, you know, I used to think about her all the time, every day. You can't sleep, you can't wake up, so that has an effect on your work, on your personal life, obviously, and it was kind of destroying myself. So I knew I had to do something, and after the MGTOW summit, I just try not to think about her. And one of the things I did was I talked to a fellow guy who was with me, and one of the things I did was cut all ties. I started with, you know, I didn't want to see her SNS feed, so I just cut them off. Made sure that, you know, I don't have any input, extra input, so I don't have to think about her or anything like that. And then second thing I did was try to figure out what some of the events and some of the relationship I had with her, you know, good things and bad things. There are good things and bad things, and when you rationalize it, it's not really that good. So I mean, it was good. I mean, there are good times, obviously, but there are bad times as well. And if you take that into account. It's not something that you should be longing for. And I understand that, but the fact is, I still think, you know, I still continue to think, and it pains me in a way. And yeah, so I'm trying to get out of that situation, and you know, I'm just hoping, you know, there's something I could do to move on. I try to move on rationally, you know, doing all that stuff. I'm sleeping better because I started taking melatonin. It kind of helped, but. Mentally, it's still there, so that's where I'm trying to. Sorry about that.
That's good.
Yeah, thank you.
No worries, man. Good. Thanks, man.
Hi. Well, it's my first summit, to MGTOW summit, to attend, and dealing with a lot of things. I would say, basically dealing with lifelong self-sabotage in multiple arenas, just relationship, financial, health, all that kind of stuff. And so I'm really just been piecing things together, and I've been, you know, wanting to really uncover a lot of things that have affected, you know, going back to childhood. And I think I'm discovering, I've been learning lately, and I want to go even deeper into the dark side, you know, the darkness of all of it, in like, you know, like relationship with like my parents. I realized that they were not real active, you know, so it's like a lot of my needs weren't being met at a young age, you know, like my needs of being an individual was not being met. You know, it's like I learned to not know my own emotions. Like, instead of being asked what I was feeling, it was more common for them to just tell me what I'm feeling. Even if I'm miserable as hell and just totally depressed, they tell me how grateful and happy I should be feeling. Even though I'm like, I'm not feeling, you know. So then after a while, I had to conclude that my feelings are wrong. They're inaccurate, clearly, because they're telling me the exact opposite of what I'm actually feeling, right? And I couldn't even articulate it, because, you know, at an early age, part of the job of a parent is to, like, talk with you and, like, pull those out of you and help you to, like, identify and make sense of all of these different emotions that you're not familiar with. But I didn't get any of that growing up, and so I was completely just conditioned to just, like, my job is to make my mom like feel important and my dad feel happy, you know, and that's kind of what, you know, so, and, you know, and there's other terms that I've come across that seems to articulate the situation I grew up in. Is like, I think my mom fits, the relationship with me and my mom totally fits like this, it's called like the Oedipal complex, where it's like, the mother like consumes the son, and it's all about her getting her needs met, and it's not about helping him become an individual. It's about her feeding her own needs. And then it became almost like I became like a surrogate husband almost, and like, so she would talk to me about things that were inappropriate for my age, and like, in, you know, and then combined with me not having my feelings ever being acknowledged, and like some of my basic needs being completely ignored, you know. Or there's times where I'm like, I'm not hungry at all, she stuffs me with the food, but I'm totally have other individual needs totally ignored. There was a few years where I was fucking like nearsighted as hell. But I'd so conditioned to like, my needs are not important, only their needs are important. They never paid any attention. And I think they like learned to just look the other way. If anything that's bad, they would just avoid like going there, and only like if it's something good, they'll acknowledge that. But if it's something bad, they won't acknowledge it or like say it's good. So it's like everything's just fucked up. Everything is upside down. And then I went to like this Christian school, which like I basically learned that I was born not good enough and deserved to go to hell. That was basically the message I got. And then they would tell me every day how fortunate and grateful I should be. Meanwhile, I'm like, you know, wanting to kill myself, you know? And so it was like this complete disconnect growing up. And so kind of fast forward, I'm just seeing that like a lot of all that groundwork like laid the foundation for all this self-sabotage throughout my life. And even one area that like, you know, I'm able to talk about it more now, but it was something just more recently that I went into, and there was so much shame wrapped around it that it was almost like I was like emotionally molested by my mother. Like she was just using me. Like it was almost like she went so far but stopped short of having sex with me, kind of. It was almost like that. But I didn't understand what the fuck was happening at a young age. And it just like it just totally fucked me up. And so now I'm just like, now I'm just getting in all these relationships with all of these other women that are just like either it's something totally fucked up or like they're super dysfunctional in some way, and then like or they'll like guaranteed to be in a super abusive relationship, you know. And so I got married, and it was someone that was just like, she just needed me for her green card, you know. And she clearly made that very clear, especially after we got married. I mean, it was just like crashed and burned the day after the marriage. Like there wasn't even a honeymoon. And I just remember that was like the most miserable year and a half of my life. And well, and then followed once it ended, then I just kind of went into this like deep depression. And so basically all of 2018, I basically was just a complete wreck. I couldn't even work. I literally, like, I would go try to do some work, and my brain was so fucked up, I literally couldn't, like, things that normally were easy for me to do, it's like I had a 75 IQ all of a sudden. Like, I literally, like, my brain just stopped functioning. Like, I was just in pure survival mode, that I couldn't operate high functioning enough to be able to do some little installation job and solve some little design problem. Like I literally, my brain just stopped working, and like all my physical strength left me. Like I couldn't even pick up shit that normally would be easy for me to pick up. It was crazy. Like, yeah, it was just this, it was like, man, I stopped eating, you know. I got, yeah, I mean, I'm kind of a little overweight right now, but man, I just like, I would eat maybe an apple a day, maybe. Like, I didn't fucking care anymore. Like, I just stopped eating. I didn't care about shit. And just everything, just whole life, just completely just all fell apart. But at the same time, I'm very grateful for that experience, because it, like, uncovered something. And I realized that, and I was sharing with some of you guys earlier, that when I did meet, you know, who I married, it's like something inside of me got activated from childhood, and certain like unmet needs that some part of me unconsciously was like, if I help her this, I will finally get these unmet needs that I never got met. She of course will now meet those needs, kind of thing. And so I was just, boom, instantly, it was just like a possession, and I was just taken over, and it was just like, it was out of my control at that point. No, every freaking person around me that would tell me like, are you sure? Like, I don't know about this. And it was just all these red flags for them, that it was so obvious for them, but literally nothing they could say could talk me out of it. I was completely possessed, and I didn't know what was happening. All I knew was I you know, if I married her, everything was going to be great. But then it ended up being 180 degrees, you know, it ended up being far worse than anything I could imagine. And so it was almost like almost felt like re-traumatizing myself or something. And it was so horrible, you know, but at least at some point the pain was so excruciating that I was like, I'm like, well, I'd rather die at this point. So I guess it's better to get divorced than kill myself, you know? And so that's what I finally just like, because also I'm like, and I'm abandoning her too, because there's also like this deep need to like, I have to fulfill the need, their needs and all that kind of stuff. And now, like, she's going to be fucked if I, like, totally divorce her now, because then she's not going to get her green card, and then she'll get deported, and then her whole life here is gone, and all this stuff. So I had all these things weighing on me, you know? And in the end, I left her, and then our wedding planner, who was my friend, female friend, mind you, that was totally straight, at least that's where I understood, they fucking married each other. And I was like, what? And all these guys that had been, like, trying to get with this other, with my friends, who she was old, she's an older lady, and she had been courted so many times by all these other guys. So all these guys had been madly in love with her for literally decades, have been trying to put a ring on this woman. And then all of a sudden, she marries my ex-wife. And everyone's like, I never saw that coming in a million years. Anyway, but then it still worked out, you know? I was just like, okay, she's still going to get her green card after all. And I was just like, so part of me was also kind of relieved. I'm like, okay, you know, I'm glad. Well, you know, I still think she's an interesting person, but it was definitely not. But she gave me the gift of, like, breaking a naive part of myself, that I was living in a completely naive state. And again, it goes back to the childhood level, like, you know, and I guess I maybe just touch upon, like, one good example, you know, back to the, oh, I mentioned about the nearsightedness thing, like, went for, you know, for years, my parents never noticed that I couldn't fucking see. Like, you know, you'd think a parent would notice that, but my parents don't. So, like, basic needs, like, can my child actually read shit and see things and read signs? They totally ignored that. My older brother, I hang out with him for one fucking day, and he was able to notice that I couldn't see. One day. They couldn't notice it in years. And it was just, I went out with him, and he was, like, doing a delivery, and he was asking me to read signs as we were driving down the street. This was, like, pre-Google Maps, you know? And he's like, read that sign. Where's that? And I'm like, and I'm like, I'm embarrassed, you know? And I'm like, it's all blur and stuff. And then I'm finally like, he's like, what the fuck? Like, he was getting annoyed. Like, I was, like, trying to cause trouble. And then I finally, like, I can't see. And then he does me, like, a, you know, like, an impromptu little eye test thing, you know? He's like, how many fingers am I holding up? You know, he does it a little quick. And then, like, you know, 2 minutes, he concludes that I can't fucking see. And then he gets back to the house. And I remember, you know, and I don't remember. I was maybe 12 or something at this point. And I remember in the kitchen, I'm standing there, and I'm kind of listening off to the side. I remember him and my older brother and my mom in the kitchen. My brother just yells, and he's like, do you know your son can't even fucking see? Like, do you even care about your son? And he just yells that at her like that, you know? And then that just kind of, like, stuck in my head, you know? And I was just like, wow, like, am I even cared about? Like, what the fuck, you know? And so, like, all this stuff is just, like, so I'm just kind of trying to detangle all of these things, and I keep getting into these relationships that are, you know, destructive, toxic relationships. And my mom was, like, very toxic and crazy and stuff, you know. But again, like, you know, you were talking about earlier about, you know, she has her own set of survival mechanisms, you know. She went through a lot of abusive things, and so she was just acting out her own abuse, her own survival strategies, you know. And so, I don't know, it's just, I could go on and on forever, but anyway, so I'm just dealing with all this stuff, and so I'm just trying to get some, unpack it, all of these things, and, like, make better sense of all of it, and just kind of, you know, heal some of these destructive patterns in myself that keep derailing every time I start making progress in some area, and then all of a sudden, it just, like, boom, like, something takes over, it just automatically derails. And I'm just like, I'm just sick and tired of it. And so that's kind of where I'm at.
Hi guys. So I won't be very long, because it's kind of hard for me to speak in English on a deeper level. So I just go from 2 years ago, when I started to work on myself. I started therapy after also a breakup. I talk every week. I talk with my therapist since 2 years. So recently, like for maybe 1 year, I discovered the videos of Running Man and different MGTOW channels. And the why I chose Running Man, because I felt really what he was saying, I felt really related, and I could relate to a lot of subjects, because the way he was going really deep and explaining stuff without blaming girls, but it was more actually putting back the responsibility to the guy, actually the guy's part. So I really appreciate that, and it goes along with my the work I'm doing with my therapist. And actually, I came also because in my life I want to, now I want to go in the direction of not my dreams, but what I really want to do. And this is what I really appreciate in Running Man, is pushing the envelope. He from what I get to his videos, is that you have to push your limits. And I think that all of you guys are that type of guys. You are pushing the limits, you are going through difficult times, but you are acting. You're acting and you're going, moving forward. And this is what I want to be. I want to be myself. I want to be with people like you. And when I talk with my therapist, I told her I want to do that, so she knows. And she said that's a really good idea, you should go for it. So for me it was like a dream coming true. And I'm really happy to be with you. I can't look at you because I got too many emotions right now. But it's also related to the masculine energy, and I think I'm trying hard to reconnect with my father, who is going through a hard time. He has drinking issues, so his part also. I'm part of the problem, because I kind of rejected him because I saw he was drinking. But with all the knowledge now that I'm gathering with the masculine these gatherings and MGTOW, I now understand a little bit more about the man's situation. So I want to connect more and working on myself is permitting me to accept more of my default, and also accepting more the defaults of my friends and also my father. So I feel better now. I can talk with him a bit better, and I'm confident that it's the good path, reaching out and going with people who moves in the right direction and positive energy. And so that's it. I won't go into details about my childhood, because I think now I want to move forward. And so I want to thank you all to be here, and pass the microphone now. Thank you.
That was awesome, man. Let me say go quick, because they're playing the go home music. Yeah, they're playing.
Oh, true.
Yeah, so just, so I would say go ahead in two or three minutes, we're going to have to go short, and then maybe we can add on later, or we can even end here and then open it up with your guys' stuff in the next one. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Just so it's not rushed.
Yeah. Does anybody want to say anything right now, just for whatever reason? You guys?
We
All right, man. Fucking A, man. That was great. That was fucking great, you guys. That was fucking great. This one thing I fucking hate about the internet is it's so easy to act like you just came to MGTOW just by chance. You drive down the fucking road and you crash into MGTOW. You know? It's like, you know, in the middle of the road, you know? And like, you're in MGTOW, right? That's not how it happens. You don't come to these things without a reason. You just don't. Like, you don't search for fucking things like this. Like, you know, when you have a pain in my knee, then I search for knee shit, right? It's like people that come to something like this, it's like there's a reason, right? And I think everybody listening, if you're honest with yourself, it's like, fuck, there's a reason why you're here. Listening right now, right? Or just here, you know, us, all of us, right? So it's like, I love that. It's just being honest about it and trying to fucking figure out what the fuck is going on, because, you know what I mean? Like, there's no money in faking things. There's no future, right? In that kind of shit. That's what most people do. Like, oh, I just came to this event because, you know, I always wanted to go to Japan and, you know, fucking anime and shit, you know, and, you know. So we're going to move on and grab some dinner. All right. Fucking thanks, guys. Thanks for coming. Thanks for everything. Yeah.